your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it is a Tuesday, for it is always a Tuesday.
Let's go!
Thank you.
You're welcome. I try.
Yes, this is not the raspy, cigarette smoke-filled voice of Patrick Harris. He is not here, and it's kind of for it's kind of my fault why he is not here.
I'd say a good reason, but your fault.
Really. Good reason, but it is definitely my fault. Months and months ago, being at a radio station, radio cluster, if you will.
Yes.
We have access to some tickets and some things at other stations and promotions that we're putting on, and we have relationships with different companies that put on concerts, and it was on the calendar. This might have been like 3 or 4 months ago that I told him, I'm like, hey, man, I know you love some DMB, some Dave Matthews Band, and I know that you go to the Gorge all the time to see them, but they are going to be in Eugene. I think they go to Eugene Bend. They are going to be in Bend, and I think they go to Bend every year. And I'm like, I think that we have some tickets available for their show in Bend if you want to go to that one, man. And I don't know if this was before or after we decided to move the show to Tuesdays, but just not even thinking about the day, the date, or anything. I told him about that. He's like, yeah, man, let me get some tickets for that. Who do I got to reach out to?
Yeah, let's go. That was a great Patrick Harris impression, by the way. Nailed it.
So he ended up snagging those tickets, and now here we are. On this very day. I mean, the concert has already started. I don't know if Dave is out there, but Patrick is definitely out at Hayden Holmes Amphitheater, ready to see some Dave. And then when's the Gorge concert, Jordan? In like 2 weeks? Three weeks?
No, the Gorge concert is this weekend. So I believe they start either Thursday or Friday in the Gorge. They're doing like a 2 or 3 day stint in Bend before going right up to the Gorge.
That's right. Actually,
this Sunday, I
remember this from last year. I was down in Bend, and I went to a concert on Saturday. And the people that I went to the concert with are big Dave Matthews Band fans, and they're like, all right, we'll see you guys again on Tuesday for Dave. And then the following weekend was Dave at the Gorge. So they went to the Revolution concert on Saturday, Dave Matthews Band on Tuesday in Bend, and then they went up to the Gorge that weekend for Dave Matthews Band again. Which the dedication, just in your early 30s to pull that off all within a week. Tip of the hat to them to do that. But that is where Patrick Harris is at. Patrick did not go see Corey Feldman, the text line chiming in there. The Loser Tour, I believe that was happening with Limp Bizkit, hosted by Riff Raff. That was happening.
What? Oh, yeah. I did see Limp Bizkit was like touring again. I kind of wondered why, but okay.
Yeah, I believe it was called the Loserville Tour. But a bunch of dudes I've never heard of, but apparently Corey Feldman is making music now. That's a thing.
Why am I not surprised? He's trying anything to make money.
But yeah, hosted by Riff Raff. You know Riff Raff, right?
No, you're going to have to fill me in on Riff Raff.
Probably a good thing you don't know Riff Raff, to be honest. But yeah, I heard that lineup. The only thing that was enticing to me was Limp Bizkit, because who didn't love Limp Bizkit in the early 2000s? Chocolate Starfish and the hot dog flavored water. I mean, come on. Classic album right there.
Just one of those days.
Today is actually just one of those days. Jordan, where I just I did not get my act together in the morning, and I'm paying the price for it now.
Well, I mean, what did I see? Like, did I catch you showering again here at the station this evening?
Yes, and that was planned. What wasn't planned was me forgetting a new pair of socks.
Oh, God.
And this was almost a poll question that I wanted to throw up. Would you rather put on sweaty socks after working out, going on a jog, and then just sweaty socks in general, or just go barefoot?
I'd have to go barefoot and then just rewash my feet when I get home. The feel of sweaty socks, just, that sounds disgusting.
That's exactly my thought process. I got back to the building around like 6-ish, and that's when I discovered the conundrum I was in.
The conundrum.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I can either option A, put the sweaty socks and sweaty shoes back on. I can walk out to my car and put on my dress shoes that I have, my Cole Haans. But I don't know about you, and actually I'm going to make the assumption is that you have certain shoes and certain things that you like to go with certain outfits.
Now, exactly. Now, dress shoes, like I'm wearing a pair of Cole Haans right now. Are we talking like dressy or like tennis shoe-like?
I'm not like dressy, but they're definitely my like casual work attire shoes. Like, you know, they're nice, but they don't go with Nike sweatpants.
Hey, if you've got an option, I mean, it's not like we're on the news like TV below our waist or anything.
I can
like,
be pantless. Yeah, for
exactly.
All you know.
There's not a big deal there.
I could be pantless, but what I am tonight in the studio is I'm Shoeless Joe. I am Shoeless Joe Fisher.
My God.
For the foot freaks out there, I can show you on the YouTube stream, but I'd rather not. That would take a lot of stretching.
1080 OnlyFans.
I might pull a hamstring by pulling my foot up here for the stream there, but there it is.
Oh, my God. This is disgusting. We're making waves. For the
feet freaks out there. I'm telling you, 1080 the OnlyFans will be a thing.
Yeah, we're going to have calendars. We're probably going to have, like, requests.
Yeah, the calendars have been talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, like individual personalized videos.
Get me naked on a bear rug in front of a fireplace.
Just get me in a Mariners jersey only, but it's got to be, like, an extra small.
Just draped over you like a blanket over your naked body.
Exactly.
Text line, Vancouver 4 text line saying Cole Haans are more comfortable than running shoes.
Yep.
Dude, I love my Cole Haans.
I honestly, this is the first pair that I bought this last year, and I am fully in on grabbing like three more pairs. I'm waiting for that Black Friday sale or whatever they got going at Nordstrom's, where hopefully I can pick them up for under $100, trying to be cheap.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know how you get some Cole Haans on the cheap, man. You hit up that Nordy's rack.
Oh, the rack. It's true, but
the rack.
You are so lucky when you actually find your size at the rack. That's true. It's an untold peril there. It's like you walk in, I've got size 11 feet, and you see a full wall of size 13s, and the 11 rack is empty.
It is a crapshoot. No, I have these like Cole Haan Oxfords that are like kind of like knitted material, like almost like. Like a knitted cloth material on it. Uh-oh. Jordan's feet breaking out. Kind of like those,
like these, like the ones I'm wearing?
Not the same exact ones, but very similar.
You should have just put it on, bro.
They're in the car. I'm very much considering. But also, to link up with Patrick and the hippies that are down in Dave Matthews Band, going shoeless, you know, the whole, have you heard of being grounded?
Oh, yeah. Really feeling the earth beneath your feet, yes.
Feeling the office hardwood and carpet beneath my feet, so I'm not quite there.
But I feel the office move under my feet.
Yeah, I was worried about stepping on a nail or something like that. They're doing construction upstairs, and, you know, I was nervous I was going to get a splinter or something like that.
Yeah, it smells like paint. Could step in like a whole little, just a big old glop of paint, like walking by that you didn't see. Whoopsies.
Damn you, Vancouver Ford text line. There are things I wish I could say on air that I just can't. But I appreciate that last text from area code 415 there.
You know who you are.
Oh, God. The poll question I do have up, though, is baseball related. It's on the my Twitter at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H, but I did retweet it out to the 1080 The Fan Twitter /X page. What would be the more impressive achievement? Judge hitting 63 home runs, Otani 50-50, Ellie De La Cruz, 30 home runs and 70 stolen bases. Mm. We've only seen once happen.
It's true.
With Ronald Acuna. And then the last option, Joe, 12 tacos in one sitting.
Ooh, I mean, the Joe 12 tacos in one sitting, I'm sorry, I think there would be a Schultzy match like right next to you, and then I think Will Ortner would probably double what we're eating in one sitting.
So. I wouldn't have passed Will being able to put down 12 tacos, at least. Yeah. That's he's hitting that over for sure.
But as far as like the 70-30 goes, I feel like that, I don't want to say like it's more common now because that is such a crazy number, but what I'm... What I'm looking at though is the future of, you know, shorter base paths and the push for offense by Major League Baseball. So I could see more 70-30 seasons. The 50-50 is pretty cool. It's got to be a toss up between that and Aaron Judge hitting 63, especially so soon after he hit 62, and just the rate of home runs that he's mashing at right now. It's nuts.
Well, that's what we are going to get into. But I do technically have the chance to maybe make the 12 tacos thing happen this very weekend on Sunday. But I could, but I don't know if it'd be the smart decision.
I mean, get me in on this. I'll send you a 20. Like, let's get some tacos, baby.
Well, so the situation is on Sunday, I will be DJing what is quite possibly my last wedding ever. I've DJed many, many weddings over the years, but it's coming to an end. It's a lot of work.
It's got to wind down at some point.
Yeah, I think I did like two or three last year. So it's just, they're a lot of work. They take up a Saturday during the summer, and now that I'm older, those are extremely valuable. But I've DJed over 100 something weddings maybe in my life.
Damn, bro, you're an expert.
And this last wedding is for my buddy Justin. I DJed two of his sister's weddings, so it's like, I'm finally like finishing the family tree of DJing their weddings. But what they're having for dinner is a taco truck with unlimited tacos.
Oh, yes. What a clutch decision on
their
part.
Very smart decision. So that's the thing, is like, I will be quote unquote working, but I'm going to have a ton of friends there, his family who I've met through years over DJing their wedding. So it's going to be a very like informal work time there, but I don't know if I can take that night to try and break my to try and set my 12 taco personal record. I just don't know that would work out well, especially if I'm trying to DJ at the same time.
I mean, it depends, like if these are like true street tacos, if we're talking about like the slightly bigger flour tortilla, like we kind of got to know the stats here.
Well, I'm also just concerned that I'll get up on the microphone and start to make an announcement like, all right, I just need all the single ladies up here for the bouquet.
Like, what's wrong with the DJ?
Just cilantro and onions everywhere. God. Yeah.
That would ruin $1,000 worth of equipment.
That definitely would be the last wedding I ever do if that was the case. That'd be a way to send off the career.
Yeah, way to go out with a bang there, bro. Literally, or a whammy, I guess.
Yeah, no. That, again, I will have many tacos, but I don't think I'll be trying to go for 12 in one sitting. But I do want to get to the record breakers that are on the horizon, possibly. And then a possible Ohtani feat that is on the horizon here. No, not my feat, but a feat in the game of baseball that could be happening potentially this year. A battle for the Burrows. In hour number two, we will get to the new look Mariners.
Oh, I'm so excited to sound off on some Danny Wilson-led Mariners, baby.
And there could be a second team that is going to blow their division, and we can get to that in the second hour. Possible fair or foul, then we'll send it off. But I do want to get to these record breakers, or potential record breakers. We get to Judge, Ohtani, next, here on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan. My Orioles... over the weekend, the Mariners Orioles, they're playing right now in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Very bizarre just because of the late night first pitch. Not used to seeing that with my Orioles.
Yeah, those Baltimore fans. I lived on the East Coast in Boston for just about a year. Watching 10-10 Mariners first pitches was weird. So yeah. Baltimore fans, I apologize. It's an odd night if you're trying to stay up for this.
I am a night owl, so I do appreciate any sort of late sports content. That's why Pac-12 After Dark was so great. I would like to see what it was like, what it's like being on the East Coast for a extended period of time, especially during like football season when you got 7 o'clock kickoffs here, but they're kicking off at 10 o'clock. Like, I can imagine. See, and that's the thing, is that you would have to have a very select group of people that actually cared about Pac-12 over on the East Coast. Like, imagine a bar watching a Pac-12 After Dark game at 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Like,
yeah, that's
but again,
never gonna happen.
Finding that in on the East Coast anywhere, like, I just think that if it's a Saturday night at 1 o'clock, most people are out like at a club or partying and they aren't really locked in on some football.
I mean, I remember, God, it was a trip to Syracuse for a family funeral, but there was a pretty big Ducks game that Saturday. It was like an 8 p.m. East Coast kickoff. Thankfully, a national television game. They had it on in the bars. I don't know if anybody besides me was watching, but it was there. People were out. But yeah, past 8, 9, 10 o'clock, dude, it just gets way too tough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the Orioles are playing against the Dodgers right now in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani, he got a hit already. Luckily,
of course he did.
Luckily, not a home run. But we have some potential big records that could be broken here on the horizon. One concerning the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani. One concerning Aaron Judge. And right now, the poll question, there is one answer that is running away with it. It's Joe's 12 tacos in one sitting. No, actually, that's in second place, 26.1%. But the Ohtani 50-50 season, 60.9% of the poll question vote. But I oppose this to the text line, the Vancouver Ford text line. What is the more impressive feat? Or what do you want to see the most? You can make a case for both of these. Like you said in the first segment, that Aaron Judge hitting 63 home runs and breaking his own record that he set two seasons ago. Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, we're talking like Sammy Sosa, but he was on steroids kind of years. Mark McGwire kinds of years. And as far as we know, Aaron Judge is clean. That would be an astounding accomplishment. But the text line, very, very dutifully pointing out, and we do appreciate that on the Vancouver Ford text line. All texts go through the Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. 50-50 by far the hardest. And I would agree. I don't think, I mean, how many 40-40s have we had? What, like now? Like less than a handful or a handful total?
I had there was an article I saw the other day that was basically, it was talking about the best power speed combo seasons that we have ever seen in MLB history.
Now. Ohtani became the sixth 40-40 player in history.
Yeah, I want to find this because it was pretty interesting seeing some of these like combinations of, you know, home runs and stolen bases and how close we were to seeing certain feats. But the Aaron Judge, I mean, we've seen 60 home run season. Hell, we've seen 70 home run seasons. So seeing I don't know, there's something about this one, though, just 2 years later, seeing him one-up himself again and set the record in the American League again after the Roger Maris record stood for so long. I mean, there is something where, like, I'm a little surprised that the poll question is swayed this far in Ohtani's favor. But granted, the 50-50 is something we have never seen before.
Well, also, there's that Ohtani effect, right? I mean, my wife and I are going down to Anaheim here the end of September. We're going to do Disneyland one day, and we're doing a Dodgers-Padres game the next day. And I'm already getting the wig in her ear like, hey, baby, we got to get a couple of Ohtani jerseys because he is Shohei freaking Ohtani. So, I mean, I guess maybe it's more special that it's being done by the, you know, current day, like, Japanese Babe Ruth, whatever you want to call it.
And the Orioles just hit a home run. Ryan O'Hearn, they take a 1-0 lead. Very nice.
And Mariners just ended the third. Nobody scored.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the 50-50 season, it's got to take precedent over the 63 home runs. One, how lucky are we that this is, that this is happening in each league, both in the season. Like, there's two things to watch as we come down the stretch.
What a debate to have in the middle of another debate in baseball where we're worried about, like, the lack of offense, right? Like, we're still seeing the best hitters in the game reaching new heights. Like, averages are down. Guys aren't hitting 300 nearly as much as they used to. But look at these home runs, dude. And look at the stolen bases have helped. But Ohtani coming back from Tommy John or stabilization surgery, whatever he had, to hit this many home runs, that's an accomplishment as well in itself to talk about.
So 50-50 has never happened. A 50-30 has never happened.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
The closest we ever got to that was Larry Walker in 1997, his MVP season, 49 home runs, and he swiped 33 bags that year. So he came damn close to doing that.
Wow, Larry Walker. You don't think of him as a bag swiper back
then? No,
in the
when I saw that, I was just like, wow, the fact that that was the closest one was Larry Walker. And he had 29 home runs on the road that year. So it was.
Well, and was this when he was with the Rockies?
Yeah.
So 29 home runs on the road, that's impressive. But like we're talking about a slightly slimmer like John Kruk type of MLB player getting 29-30 stolen bases, dude. That's nuts.
Right. So very impressive season by Larry Walker there, but did not get the 50-30. We've never had a 60-20 season either, which makes sense. You know,
that's shocking that Sammy Sosa didn't steal 20 bases during one of those years, actually. Honestly, that does not make sense to me, Jim.
This article, it says, the High Fly 1998 season produced both the most homers to go with 20-plus steals, and that was 56 by Griffey.
Of course.
And the most steals to go with 60-plus homers, and you're right, it was Sammy Sosa. He had 18 steals.
Man, they did not run the bags enough in the 90s. Because how many did Griffey have total that year?
It doesn't say. We can look it up.
That's
real
okay.
quick. But
that's okay.
He did have at least 20.
I'm going to guess he didn't have 30. And so I just kind of trying to prove my point here that like, it just sucks that like, if they had stolen more bases or been, you know, had a nose to do that more, probably
well,
would have seen those.
When you're hitting, 56 home runs, you know, getting, just having, the opportunity to steal is much less, right?
I mean,
depending on like what his doubles and triple numbers look like that season, you know, it's like,
it's fair,
you know, unless you really want to try and steal third a bunch. But,
Griffey,
he
had about 120 singles, so a lot of opportunities. I would assume Sammy did not have as many singles, so
yeah. So those are some things that haven't happened. Now, the odds for either of these things to happen this year, because that's the other thing I want to ask, is do they both happen? Do we see Judge hit 63 home runs and see Ohtani hit 50 and steal 50? Both of them in the same season. But I have the odds of each of these happening. The 63 home runs, 63 plus for Aaron Judge. It is a -110 right now. He is on pace for 63, like 0.1, if you really want to do the math. But
okay.
He is favored to get 63-plus home runs. 65-plus home runs is +240 right now on FanDuel, if you want to get frisky.
I would probably, I mean, see, if I'm looking at a betting balance like $400 or $500 in my account, yeah, I'd probably want to throw $30 to $50 on that. Like Judge 65. He is literally at an insane clip right now. I believe it was something like 11 home runs in the past like 20 games.
Yeah,
it's just stupid.
Yeah, he's crushing it. So 63 plus home runs, -110, 65 plus home runs, +240. The Ohtani 50-50, the odds on that for it to happen, yes. +175.
Ooh.
No, -270. And I understand that because you got like 30 games left. I mean, you could, was it like Ellie De La Cruz the other day? He got his 70th steal. And I want to say it was like an 11 game stretch where he had not gotten a steal. And that can happen, is like you just have a stretch where you don't have those steal opportunities. So the fact that he is favored to not get 50-50, I totally understand that. This on the Vancouver Vortex line, come on, the stolen bases become a joke. Judge, not even close. I mean, when we talk about, what is it, the bigger bases that they're using, like how much really different are we talking on the stolen bases difference between now versus however many years? So what were like the major rule changes for, to quote unquote, entice players to steal bases? It was the increasing the size of the bag, which I can't remember the size that they
15 to 18 inches.
Okay. Like in diameter, I'm guessing.
Yes, yes. So each side, a square of 15 inches, now each side is 18 inches.
So, 6 inches matters a lot, okay? So you got 3 inches on first base, 3 inches on second base, you know, that's huge, according to... I've always been told 6 inches is huge, right?
Hey, average men out there.
Are you telling me these women have been lying to me my whole life?
Average men out there would say 6 inches is huge, but I would actually say that in this instance, Joe, when you're talking about 90 feet, now between bases shrank a little bit to, 87 feet? So between like third and home and between second and third, 87.9 and now 88.15. So it's not just 6 inches. You really are, because of the way the diamond works, you know, shrinking that base path a little bit. So we're talking a couple of feet or at least a half a second that you're able to save in these situations now.
Stolen bases increased 1.8 per game in 2023, up from 1.4 in 2022. Another rule change.
Two throwovers.
Disengage,
yeah.
Right.
And that's, you know what, to the point of the texture, you can't really... kind of play chicken with a guy like you used to on first base. You can't just keep it. I do like that. I hated when a guy would pitch, you know, over to first, like, or fake it like he was going to pitch and just keep throwing over to first 6 or 7 times in a row. It does speed the game up, but yeah, it does make it a little easier to get stolen bases. I think that's been proven.
So I think I have to lean with the poll question. I mean, there's part of me that goes like, true baseball fan versus casual fan. Like, the true baseball fan in me wants to see the 50-50 because we've never seen it before. It's Shohei Ohtani. He's less likely to do it than the 63 home runs. But I just don't think that the judge accomplishment of hitting 63 home runs a couple seasons after hitting 62 is like, again, we haven't seen that since Sammy. Like, and that was when the game was at its biggest popularity. Was in the 90s with the home run contest between him and McGuire late in the season. Now, granted, everybody was on roids, but I just think that to do this 2 seasons after setting the record in the American League, like, that's not Ohtani easily. The judge thing is unreal what he's doing right now.
Pretty cool debate that we're having. The stolen base has been devalued, but to see the 50-50, I mean, seriously, 50, even if the stolen base has been devalued, 50 home runs in a season as well as the 50 stolen bases, it's hard to do, but I still got it. Yeah, I think I'm leading with my original answer, too. Just the judge factor and seeing it so soon after he just hit 62 to beat Roger Maris's record. I mean, it's historical, just like the 50-50 is, but it's like history 2 years later, so I got to lean that way.
All right, now we're talking about what Ohtani could possibly do this season, but there is another feat that he could possibly accomplish this season. We'll talk about the likelihood of it, and oh my God, if he pulls it off, this would be one of the most unreal seasons a single player ever had. We get to that next here on the Hawkhorn, but first, Schultzy with the SportsCenter update. I plugged in the odds for the two bets. Judge to hit 63 home runs, Ohtani to get 50-50.
Well, like a multiplier?
If you wanted to parlay those babies, plus 425.
That's not that much.
No,
that's really not that much. No. I do it. I would. I'd throw $30 on it. I'd say that's a decent lottery ticket, but dang, I figured they'd be higher.
$10 will get you 42.50.
So what, 30 will get you 120-ish. Yeah. Like 100 will get you 425.
I gotta talk to a bookmaker to put some odds on my 12 tacos, and then we can see what that bet's like.
Joe, I love you, but that's at like -1,000. I think for me, it's probably at -2,000, and then the Will Ortner -10,000.
This also on the text line. Who's more fun to watch, you guys? Ohtani when he's not pitching, or Judge? I hate the Yankees, but I do love watching Judge when he's up to bat. Again, there is like. Now, with that being said, Ohtani has a home run aspect to his record, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Him getting that 40-40 the other night on a grand slam walk-off,
that's the stuff of dreams,
dude,
of video games.
Are you kidding me? Like, just couldn't have been set up any more perfectly. But chicks dig the long ball. when it comes to the casual fan watching the game, it's like, wait, this guy has the chance to hit the most home runs in a season again? Like, Ohtani getting 50 home runs. It's one of those like, okay, that's cool, but wait, he can hit 63? Well, I think I want to watch that. I think I want to be more glued into that. And if that's going to go down.
We're so spoiled.
Again, being the baseball fans that we are, the 50-50, I totally get, like, never seen it before. Shohei Ohtani, Dodgers, all the elements that go into it. Like, that is unbelievable. But 63 after hitting 62 two seasons before, it's like, again, I feel like a little kid again watching the Sosa McGuire. And there aren't any steroids involved. It's just a 6'8 monster over there in New York that is just crushing home runs.
Yeah, it's not just chicks that dig the long ball. It's chubby sports broadcasters like me that dig it too.
Yes, so. Yes. We all dig the long ball. The Ohtani feat that could happen this season, because it was seen just the other day that he threw a light pitching session.
Yes, the day of, I believe, either day of or after he hit his 40th homer to break the 40-40 season for him, that mark, yeah, he threw on the mound.
It was on Saturday, which I'm trying to think if that was the... I think that was the day that he hit the grand slam.
No, it sounds like it was the day or the day after. So yeah, it was just, I think within 24 hours.
Right. I think it was either Friday night, because it was his first game against the Rays. So it would have been Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But he had a light throwing session on Saturday, 10 pitches in the bullpen, but it was full throws. And now I'm wondering, do we see him pitch in the postseason, like in any capacity?
No.
Please, God, let him pitch in the postseason. I know that it's not the right decision, like, at all from a longevity standpoint, but could you imagine, like, World Series, game, whatever, and he comes out of the bullpen?
I mean, they traded for Jack Flaherty for a reason, dude. They've got so many guys that they've just acquired in the last 12 months to try to fill their pitching staff, even on top of already the oft-injured guys. Like,
how sick would that be, though? Like, I was talking about the
amazing.
I was talking about this with Rashad on Sunday, like after our show. It's like sometimes you'll just play like what if sports moments in your head, like that you know that couldn't happen, and you're like, God, that'd be so cool. Now, the example I used with Rashad was terrible, but we saw something on the TV and it was talking about Derek Carr and the Saints, and I was just like, what if like Derek Carr just goes off this year for like 40 touchdowns, only 10 picks, Saints go like 13-4, and Derek Carr is the MVP and leads the Saints to a Super Bowl. Like, and then we were just like playing that scenario in our, Derek Carr is your Super Bowl MVP. Just like,
that sounds weird. Again, sounds really weird.
Super weird, but I'm playing it out of my head. I'm like, wouldn't that just be insane? Like, just out of nowhere, something like that happens. So playing in your mind a World Series matchup, and even just like the day before or the day of, and the news breaks that Shohei Ohtani will start game four for the Dodgers in a closeout game to try and seal the sweep. Now, that situation's terrible, because if you have a 3-0 lead, I would not throw Shohei Ohtani out there. But imagine it's like a game six and you need to seal it up. Your guys are tired. Your starters are gassed. You have no other options. And it's like, Shohei, just this one game, bud. Go out there and give us 5 1/3 and just shut this team down. Now, if it's against my Orioles, I do not condone that. I am not okay with that. Do not let that happen.
To get back to the original question from the texter, I mean, I like watching Judge. It's really fun to watch him at bat. I agree. Although I'm starting to, maybe this is just my bias, I hate seeing him wearing teal, because now teams, you don't really have to wear your team colors.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
And now it's not just like other random players. I'm seeing a lot of players wearing teal now. It seems to be like this thing. Oh, it doesn't have to just be the Mariners colors. Shut up. Yes, it does. It's their team color. I don't want to see my players wearing Yankee blue. It's just a tease. It's a giant tease to me to see Aaron Judge wearing teal.
Well,
so I'm going to have to pick Ohtani just for that factor. But in all seriousness, Ohtani is exciting to watch. And just his demeanor at the plate and how he never is scared. He is so unflappable. It is entertaining to watch just the ice roll through his veins constantly.
Just seeing the teal, you're like, hey, that's our color. That's not allowed. You can't do that.
And I get it. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Major League Baseball loosened these rules up so players could have more fun. I get it, like, with the neon things, although I find those ugly as hell. But why are you wearing teal, which literally is, I think, the color of two or three teams. Two for sure, the D-backs and the Mariners, two teams you will never play for.
Well, and I don't know how much, I mean, the Marlins still use a little
bit of
teal.
That's what I say, like, maybe three, but it's more blue-ish, I guess.
Now, the best comparison to that is, like, Marcell Ozuna and Acuna. But, like, the Braves have, like, a little bit of yellow. Now, it's not highlighter yellow like they wear. Like, they have the yellow in their tomahawk, you know, so it makes a little sense. I saw that the other day with the teal, and I was just like, what is that? I was like,
he likes teal.
That's not a good look.
Somebody,
I don't like it.
Somebody will point it out on social media. I don't have nearly enough followers or standing on Twitter to do that, but somebody will point it out, and the tweet will go viral, and I'm going to be laughing the whole way.
It'd be the most Yankee thing ever for them to be like, hey, man, if you don't stop wearing that teal, we got to suspend you.
I kind of hope the fans turn on it.
It's against the Yankee code. Beards, no other colors besides the pinstripes and what we wear.
Why are you wearing Mariners teal, you bum?
Judge is about to set the home run record and then gets a suspension from the Yankees because he is not wearing the proper colors. It's only that, what is that, like a navy blue, a dark blue, the Yankees color, and white.
Well, like, and then remember Thurman Munson back in the 70s, he wore like that big catcher's protector with bright orange. Like the Yankees really don't have any colors besides blue and white. So, yeah, you go look. There were catchers back in the day, specifically Thurman Munson. It was just a big old orange plate protector.
Oh, yeah, the old school. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, where the hell did this come from? So, yeah, I hope some fans turn on Aaron Judge for wearing the color teal. Can't
you know what
do it.
Catchers need to start doing is doing stuff like hockey goalies, like having super intricate catcher masks and. Like, granted, I don't know how much you can do with the actual catcher equipment, but, like, maybe throw some flames on the shin guards or something like that.
Oh,
or have some
cool.
sort of, like, image, you know, some decal right on the chest protector.
Oh, that's right out. I think that's literally against Major League Baseball rules.
Make baseball more fun, damn it.
Well, they're trying with the teal and all the neon colors, brother.
But if just to wrap it up, and it's highly, highly unlikely. But then again, it's like, why would you have him throwing a bullpen session?
Well, you have to. He's got to start to get ramped up.
I get that, but like, can't you do that in the offseason?
No, because there's a point where you start your rehabilitation. It doesn't matter how close it is to the playoffs. That's kind of the point that the Dodgers made this year when they said he is not pitching at all. It is to start and make sure that this rehab process goes as smoothly as possible, but to start it on time and to start it, like, you know, in the process of going into next season with the plan to actually have him pitch then.
Otani pitching in the World Series, calling it now.
Okay.
Please, for the love of baseball gods, make it happen. What a cool story that would be. Otani just got a single. He is on first, two outs. So we'll see if he goes for a steal attempt here, which would bring him that much closer to a 50-50 season. There is a battle in the boroughs, though. The boroughs of New York. We'll get to that next year. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Wrap up this Judge Otani. Which one is, which accomplishment is more interesting? All right. You guys are starting to change my mind. Judge seems like an every year player. Otani is a twice in the history of baseball player. Judge is an every 20 year player.
That's a valid point.
Otani is a twice. I mean, legitimately, with Otani, man, it's like, gosh, imagine if we get a 50-50 season from him next year with like a 2.5 ERA.
Yeah, how do you measure greatness against greatness? I mean, this is kind of the question being posed by the text line here, which I really love.
There's part of me, years ago, I said, like, dude, just have him play one position, you know, like, or, you know, one side of the ball. Have him either hit or play. But my tune changed, I think, maybe it was either his last year or second to last year with the Angels, when he finally kind of got a full season under him of doing both. And I'm like, dude, this guy is, like, we knew he could do both, But to do it over a full season and then to watch him do it, I was like, dude, have him do that as long as possible. And there's part of me, like when I first saw that he was throwing it on the mound, my initial instinct was to kind of go back to that. I'm like, dude, just have him focus on hitting. And I'm, look what he's doing when he doesn't have to pitch, just being an everyday DH. I mean, he is credit, but selfishly, again, next year, if we see him put up these types of numbers on offense and is able to pitch and have a like sub three ERA, like this guy, unreal what he's doing.
You kind of hope that this might lead. I don't think that we're ever going to see anything like this until, you know, maybe I'm 70, 80 or 90 or possibly never again, like Shohei Ohtani in the history of baseball coming our way. But I do wonder if we're starting maybe to see, because there are guys that are technically two-way players, actually a couple drafted this year, a lot more in the minor leagues than ever before.
For the Mariners, a two-armed player.
Yes, they got a righty-lefty, a little Pat Venditti 2.0, a little switch pitcher action. But you kind of wonder if maybe we won't see like a successful starter and hitter, but I bet we're coming into the years of seeing way more like successful hitters that'll go out and be great relievers, that can go out there, they'll be DH, and then come out and add that extra bullpen arm in the seventh, eighth, or ninth. And I don't see why teams don't do that more now that we've seen Ohtani be able to succeed. So I'm kind of excited. I feel like the way that, and this speaks to the generational type of talent that he is as compared to Judge being an every 20-year player. Ohtani's changing the game, right? And he's going to change the way players play and players train. I'm not quite sure Judge is going to do that.
The year of the switch player. Shohei Ohtani pitching, hitting, and then maybe Travis Hunter in college football gives us players playing both sides of the ball again.
I mean, yeah, hopefully the offensive line can actually block for Shador Sanders this year so he can get Travis Hunter the ball. Because, yeah, I'll be making a lot of tackles, but let's see how that goes. Maybe they can get us some Saudi money to help them bring in some bigger linemen.
Yeah, that's not a good look. Not a good look for them.
Totally legal.
There is another battle happening in the boroughs, though, and it's not Judge going for 63 home runs. It's a battle between the two teams. Jeff Passan earlier this week saying that the top suitors for the other home run hitter, the other great batter for the Yankees, the Mets and the Yankees both in contention for Juan Soto.
Okay. I hate.
They are the top suitors, according to Jeff Passan.
According to Jeff, and Jeff Passan is...
And what the hell does he know?
Well, what he's doing is he's hearing from other teams' executives. I think that's who he cited that said it's going to be these two teams. Of course, the two New York teams. I am pretty sure that these same rival executives were talking about the Mariners being in on the Shohei Ohtani conversation before all that happened. And what that tells me is that these executives do not know what's going on in other teams' front offices, Joe, and they are feeding these comments to Jeff Passan to try to get a headline and maybe to try to strike up like some sort of sneaky plan to get in there to bid on Juan Soto themselves. I hate it, and I hate that they're only now being considered New York, the top two teams as destinations only for Shohei or for Juan Soto. Can't stand that.
That tinfoil hat looks good on you.
Oh, thanks.
I love the conspiracy theory.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think this is exactly how these headlines leak.
So who do you think are the other teams that would potentially be a top suitor in all of this? Who can afford a $500 million contract? Who would be willing to pay a $500 million contract?
The Dodgers just throw money at it because everybody's been bitching about how they're an outfielder short.
Well, you're just burning money in LA at this point. What's another 500 mil?
Exactly. Do another tax deal. Like, it's not, defer the money. It's fine. I mean, I definitely.
Anaheim could do it, and then Juan Soto promptly turns into a terrible baseball player.
No, but I do see, like, if a team actually wanted to step out and make an investment like they never have before, if you're talking about like the Texas Rangers spending more money, maybe.
Gosh, I mean, they got a bunch of money invested in some of their guys too.
But maybe the Cleveland Indians, who have traditionally not necessarily been big spenders, try to get in on something that could take them over the top, especially now that we've seen them teetering down. And we're going to talk about them next hour, how they were, they had nearly one of the best records in baseball at one point. And if I'm that front office, I'm looking in my clubhouse being like, you know what, I think we need to add to this. And what better way to add than make the biggest splash in the offseason? So at least I see it being a fit there, but will they they spend the money? I don't know. There are other teams that need Juan Soto. It's not just the two New York teams.
Well, and you want to talk about a team that needs some outfield help, I give you the Cleveland Guardians. Stephen Kwan, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Guardians in the hour number two, but the Yankees Athletic reporter, Chris Kirschner, he threw out an idea of a possible third team that could be in on Juan Soto.
Oh, who's that?
It is his former team, the Washington Nationals.
Oh,
now, I will read you the quote
Let's
that he
it.
Put in there in his article and why it would be justified for Washington to make a move for Juan Soto. And I quote, with starting pitcher Patrick Corbin's $25 million coming off the book, thank God, for the Nationals, and a team loaded with pre-arbitration and arbitration-eligible players, Washington's payroll is currently projected to be only $60 million for 2025. The Nats have spent lavishly in free agency in the past and would be wise to pursue Soto, who's only spoken glowingly of the franchise where he won a World Series in 2019. With his age, he also fits the timeline of the Nationals' young core. Soto has mentioned on several occasions how heartbroken he was when the Nationals, after he rejected their $440 million long-term contract offer, traded him to the Padres in 2022.
Yeah, but he's more likely to sign with New York than to go back to Washington, D.C. at this point, right?
I like all the logic that the reporter throws in there.
He hadn't played in New York yet.
I do like the idea of the Nationals coming in as a potential wild card in this.
Okay.
Looking at some of the teams that don't spend money or have a lower payroll this year, and then even kind of looking into the future, 2025, who's on the books, the payroll's there. Oakland?
No.
No.
What about the Braves?
They could maybe make something work just because of the sense of all their guys that they've signed are under really team-friendly contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Acuna signed a team-friendly contract. Austin Riley under a good contract.
Yep.
You have, why am I totally spacing on their first baseman, for God's sakes? Matt Olson under a good contract.
A lot of forgettable guys there.
Possibly, but I could see a lot of those guys here soon saying, I want a new contract because look how good I am, and I'm only making this much. I'm also looking at some other teams. I mean, Detroit is towards the bottom of the list of payroll. I mean, they are not afraid to pay for some guys.
Toronto was in the bidding, in on the Ohtani bidding last year, so they've got the money to sign Juan Soto if they want. And then I think a sneaky team, actually the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That was one team I did see possibly floated around, is that, as far as young core,
they need
having money to spend,
yeah,
not being afraid to spend it. They are on the books for $127 million next year. Not outrageous. That puts them currently 12th in payroll tracker for 2025.
The Minnesota Twins, they've been known to spend some money in the offseason. They were in on the Carlos Correa, after it came in at a cheaper price, ultimately. But they still, if the deal's right, if Juan Soto, he's probably going to take a 10 to 12 year deal, but maybe they could come to him and say, hey, take 1 year at $60 million and come and play in Minnesota. There would be nothing that surprises me as far as the negotiations go this offseason and how that proceeds for Juan Soto.
I'm going to stand pat on this now and through the offseason until it happens. I think he goes back to the Yankees. I think that they'll be able to offer him the most money. They'll always try to be in contention. The Mets, they may spend money, but they're the Mets and seem to always F it up somehow and barely be in contention or not at all. And they just don't have another bat. It's pretty damn nice playing with Aaron Judge right after you.
Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, back to back to back over the weekend. I hate the Yankees, and it was pretty cool to watch, Joe.
So I'm saying, again, I'm going to hold firm that he will be a Yankee and sign his long-term deal with them. But I would love to see the Nationals come in and just out of nowhere, oh my God, that's the Washington Nationals music. They're here. They're here. And they sneak into the ring and interfere and end up winning the title somehow. I would love to see that. All right, hour number two coming up. We take a look at the new look Mariners. Hell yeah.
Yes, nostalgia rules.
Patrick said last week, is this the last time we ever talk about the Mariners? Oh, no.
Uh-uh.
Oh, no, it's not. Because, my, how things can change in a week. Now, sadly, the Mariners did blow their division, and there is potentially, and it's looking right now, that there is another team that is going to blow their division lead. We get to that team as well. Possible fair or foul. But if not, I might have a fun game to play with Jordan. We get to hour number two here, Hot Corner, right here on 1080 The Fan.